Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this week's FPL Family. I'm Lee. This is Sam. Sam, we're going to do just a podcast this week. Just a podcast.
We've had
Easter Sunday, haven't we, here in the UK? Happy Easter to anybody celebrating, which means we've had tons of family stuff going on. So we've had egg hunts, we've had gifts, we've had too much chocolate, we've had roastings, all that sort of good stuff. And that actually means, on top of watching the FA Cup game today between Leeds and West Ham, which we're going to discuss in a minute, because it was a humdinger, wasn't it?
And kept us longer than we ever were anticipating watching it for.
Yes, kept us hanging on in there, didn't it, with the extra time in the pen. So we haven't really had time to set up the old live stream and the video and all the graphics and stuff. So just a podcast for this week. Probably going to be a little bit longer than the usual Ohana, but maybe shorter than we do on a Sunday night. I don't know.
We'll find out. It's us. We'll probably waffle on. Well, you will anyway.
We'll find out as we go along because we now know our fate, don't we? Our fate is a bit dramatic. We now know what double game week 33 and blank game week 34 are going to look like. So what we'll do on this podcast is discuss the FA Cup games a little bit. We'll talk about whether we learnt anything from City, Liverpool and Arsenal losing to Southampton, that's the one, isn't it? That's changed everything. So we'll discuss the games, but then I guess more importantly from an FPL perspective, we will discuss what it means now for us over the next few weeks, because I have to say, as a person that hasn't played their wild card yet, I was about 90% playing my wild card in 32.
Okay.
Coming into 32. Don't know if that's going to be the case now. I don't know. So we discuss strategy, we'll discuss all that sort of stuff. And if I don't play it in 32, when might I play it? But first of all, what did you make of the games? Do you want to start with City, Liverpool?
Do you want to start there? Get it out of the way?
Yeah, if you want.
Okay, I felt like for the first sort of 20, 30 minutes of the game, you were the better side. I thought you were playing quite
well. It was fine. Yeah.
It was an interesting one, wasn't it? Because there were a couple of moments in that first half where I was like, oh, Salah of old slots that away. Like, and it's a goal. You're probably leading the game and then maybe it goes differently. But City are... It was the same in the League Cup final, wasn't it? At the minute, they're back seemingly just doing what they do. They find a way to win even when they're not playing particularly well. And when they scored that goal and when Haaland scores the first, they just... And Liverpool just went into like, I don't know, it was almost like you just kind of switched off. And then the second half you come out and I thought, okay, well, maybe you come out in the second half, you've had your pep talk, you get into it again. And because you conceded so quickly in that second half, it was then you were never really getting into it again. And you just kind of seemed to lose your way a lot. And obviously then Salah goes on to miss the penalty and all of that jazz. It did make me, and it was interesting, wasn't it? Because you said while we were watching it, I said something about, oh, I'm going to have to get Haaland back now. And you said, yeah, probably, but don't let this Man City win at 4-0 make you think that Man City have been really, really good in this game. Because
yeah, there was a lot of that on X, on Twitter and in the Slack, right? People over-indexing a little bit on City. Now look, I'm not saying don't go and treble up on City for the double game week, because that is now going to be a very popular strategy. I think O'Reilly, Semenyo and Haaland are going to be in a lot of teams. But I do wonder whether people might over-index on City a bit. We were dreadful, by the way.
The first 20 minutes you weren't.
People are going to be getting sick of just hearing my thoughts on Liverpool every week and just saying it's dreadful. But again, it was properly dreadful. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 20, 25 minutes was all right. Yeah, it was all right. But then, then you concede the penalty. Don't just crumble.
Yeah, which they did.
I mentally just crumbled. And even I was sitting there watching it with you, wasn't it? And one of our mates, I just said, look, if we can get to halftime 1-0, just do not concede. Do not concede before halftime. 1-0, come out. We got half a chance. Then they concede right before halftime. Then they come out, you know, didn't even last 3 or 4 minutes before they conceded again. So mentally, just all over the place. Just rubbish, rubbish performance. And yeah, Haaland gets the hat trick. But in the same way that I said at the time, don't over-index on Spurs players because you've got a point at Anfield and then you went and crumbled against Forest. Don't over-index on City players because just because they did well against us in the Cup doesn't mean that they're suddenly all really good assets. I mean, having said that, I thought Nico Reilly was great again, right? For a young player to boss some senior Liverpool players in the way that he did was incredible. Semenyo looked threatening again, and of course Haaland gets the hat-trick. Those three are going to be popular, aren't they?
And the thing is that we also know that there's another game for Manchester City yet to be rescheduled against Crystal Palace.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So they're going to play, obviously, the game against Chelsea in 32. they're then going to have their double game week in 33. And okay, yes, they're going to blank in 34.
And they're double.
They're likely to be doubling again in 36. Yeah. So.
And their double in 33 is going to be Arsenal home, Burnley away.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good, doesn't it? Big title decider followed by Burnley away. A title decider which they have to win, don't they, realistically?
Well, yeah. And I guess this is a nice segue into talking about Arsenal as well, right? Because that game has always felt big anyway in terms of the way that the league is going to go. That game between them is important, especially given that Manchester City have got a further game in hand, that game against Crystal Palace that we talked about before.
Mm.
But it now feels even more important given what's happened to Arsenal in the last couple of weeks. Obviously, they've gone and lost to Manchester City in the League Cup final a couple of weeks ago. They lost a lot of players over the international break. Now, there's something to be said about that, isn't there? Because we all kind of assumed that this was maybe a little bit of Arsenal protection.
Playing the game players, a little bit.
Playing a little bit of the game. But actually, most of those players did miss out then in the game at the weekend. Now, all right, you could say, well, it's Southampton, they should be able to win without them, sure. But
big game against Lisbon, but against Sporting in the week, right?
Correct, right. Yeah. I think that's on Wednesday night, isn't it? Because you guys are Tuesday. I think they might be Wednesday.
Yeah, yeah.
That is the positive. We will hear from Arteta again and we will see a team sheet from him. Gabriel coming off with his eye, with eye strapped up on his knee, and it didn't look great for him, did it?
It didn't look amazing, no, I have to say.
But I do think that Arsenal defeat, and by the way, just I know that this isn't a championship podcast, but I thought Southampton were excellent. I thought they were absolutely excellent.
Yeah, you can see what I did well, couldn't you?
Yeah, I really did. So we'll move on from Southampton now, but just a shout out to them because I thought they were great.
15 unbeaten, I think they are.
I think
in the league
so
at the minute,
now.
So that
makes
it 16. They're
really,
great.
Really good. Really impressed I was by them. But from an Arsenal perspective, that makes that Manchester City game in game week 33 all the more important. And I think it's that result in the FA Cup that massively changes the way that we as FPL managers now look at the blank and the double game week. Because for most managers, like yourself, who still have the wildcard chip active, you'll be looking at one of two strategies. The first one is, well, our wildcard now, build up on players that have got a double. But when I look at that list of teams that have got a double, possibly with the exception of Manchester City, because as we mentioned, they're going to have another, Bournemouth, Brighton, Burnley, Chelsea, Leeds, they don't feel like teams I want to be investing in highly till the end of the season.
Yeah.
And so if you're wildcarding into a team that's full of those players, one, I don't particularly love their fixtures for this week, particularly as Man City and Chelsea play each other. And two, beyond the double and then into the blank, for most managers that wildcard, you'll be looking at then a free hit 34 strategy to get rid of all of these players. So going into 35, you'll then be looking at a team that's just full of Burnley and Brighton and Leeds and kind of looking at it going, do I want those? Whereas I think had Arsenal been in the mix, it would have been different because then you've got Arsenal who you would definitely want to hold till the end of the season. You'd have your Manchester Cities as well, maybe Chelsea, maybe you just do things slightly differently. So I think that is definitely playing into it. And for me, as a person who doesn't have a wild card to play, I had fully anticipated investing in doublers and then obviously playing my bench boost in the double and then using my free hit in the blank. But now looking at the teams that are doubling, I'm wondering whether I just forget the bench boost in the double and instead free hit the double so I can fill up with these players for that week because my team looks all right for the blank.
Yeah. It does make it a lot more difficult, doesn't it? A lot more difficult. I think I was going to say we should go through the games, but actually we just need to give context, I think, don't we? We just need to give context of what the hell's going on. So most of you will know this, right? But in case you haven't sort of done the calculations yet, the double game week to double 33 looks like this, right? So with City winning, as we said before, their double is now Arsenal and Burnley.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore Burnley double as well. And they have Forest away, City home. Now, I don't want to speak ill of Burnley, but I doubt many of us, wildcard or not, are going to go to many Burnley players, right? You might keep Dubravka if you want to, right? But I don't think many are going to go there with that as a double. Chelsea beat Port Vale, of course, in the Cup 7-0. So they will now double as well in 33, and they'll play Manchester United at home, Brighton away. Looks okay-ish on paper, but it's tricky. You know, a trip to the Amex is tricky. Man United.
Two European title, European race deciders games potentially.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy, right? Not going to be easy. And despite the 7-0, let's not forget the form that Chelsea were in before that. Let's not forget that there's a bit of a circus going on off the pitch as well, mm-hmm. with Enzo Fernandez and Liam Rossinha and all the stresses that come with that. We've got Enzo Fernandez being banned for 2 games because of some comments he made. He missed out against Port Vale. They're going to apparently not play him against Man City either. So part of me wonders whether he'll be refreshed, ready to go in double game week 33 or whether he'll still be naughty stepped. I don't really know. So anyway, they will double. And of course, that then means that Brighton will also double with Spurs away, Chelsea home. And then Leeds, of course, beating West Ham on penalties this afternoon means that Leeds will double with Wolves at home, Bournemouth away, which looks okay. And then, of course, that means Bournemouth will double too with Newcastle away, Leeds at home. So those are the teams that will have the double in 33. It's Man City, Burnley, Chelsea, Brighton, Leeds and Bournemouth.
Hmm.
And you're right. I think if your strategy is to wildcard in 32, yeah, for sure you treble up on Man City, right? Particularly as, you're right, they will have another double down the line somewhere. 36, probably. So you treble up on Man City in your game week 32 wildcard. I think you'd have some Brighton. I think you'd have some Chelsea. You'd probably have a couple of Bournemouth, maybe a Leeds. But you're right, if you're doing that, and despite the fact that a lot of the, you know, all those teams will blank in 34, so you can navigate that if you've still got the free hit chip.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to wildcard 32, you're filling your team with some pretty uninspiring crap a lot of the time. Well, you are, aren't you? What are we going
to
do?
I agree. That's what I mean. Like, you get to 35, you're going to look at that and go, I wish I had a wildcard.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is, and I did a bit of sort of, I looked into this as I thought, well, if I'm going to wildcard in 32 and I'm going to maximize the double for 30 and get as many doublers as possible, one of the downsides of that is you're going to end up wildcarding into a pretty crap looking team for 32.
32 looks horrible if you do that.
Because Man City, you've got Chelsea.
Yep.
So you're going to end up with a bunch of players playing against each other.
Yes.
You've got Bournemouth playing Arsenal. So, okay, you say, well, I want, you know, I don't know, Tavernier, Evan Ilson, Krupa Jr., Hilson, Essie. You want these guys because you want to maximise the double in 33. But they've got Arsenal away in 32 in the immediate future. Who else you got? Leeds are going to Manchester United. Okay, well, all right, I'll get... Well, who would you get? DCL.
I've got to be careful of Stack now as well because he went off.
Stack went in off injured. So, okay, maybe maximum I have a couple of Leeds so that I can get in 33 Wolves and Bournemouth at home. But I've got Old Trafford. I've got to play them at Old Trafford in 32. Yeah. I don't fancy that.
Nope.
So all of a sudden, the wildcard 32 strategy, if you were going to do what we all love doing in FPL year after year, is maximising the doublers, right? Because you want that, you know, a lot are going to bench boost in 33. Right? That's the point here, isn't it? You're going to wildcard in 32 to get as many doublers into bench boost in 33. Well, 32 looks... You're potentially going to wildcard into a worse team. I'm looking at it, and I did a very, very, very quick little draft. I like my current team better than the team I would wildcard to in 32.
So answer me this then.
It's weird, isn't it? It's so weird.
So, well, this is what I was trying to say to you before, is that's why this weekend's fixtures were so important.
Of course.
Because if Arsenal had won, if Liverpool in your case had won, your team looks very differently set up and you look better wildcarding and all of that jazz. And maybe you still didn't need to. But I look at it with my team and I think, okay, I've got two choices here. I've still got two Manchester City players. I've still got Semenya and Gehi. I'm going to sneeze.
Bless you.
Excuse me. Semenya and Gehi. And I've got a couple of Bournemouth in Tav and Senesi.
Yeah.
But that's about it. Oh, and I've got João Pedro. But that's about it when it comes to doublers. But I like the rest
Brighton,
of my team.
Brighton?
No Brighton.
No.
Okay. I've got no Brighton. I've got no Leeds. Okay. So I'm looking at my team and I'm going, okay, what is the best thing for me to do here? And actually, when I think about it, maybe for me, and maybe also for you, the best way to maximise that double could be a free hit into a team of just doublers, a team of doublers, not a squad. So I don't need to worry too much about the bench. Because coming out, I would be happy, and I've been happy for a while, to sell Tav. And others in my team, like I could then sell. I don't have to worry about getting in Haaland back and all of that jazz because I can worry about that later. If I'm going to free hit him back in anyway, maybe
actually, that's a better strategy for me because I've got a load of transfers saved. So I could keep my transfers and use them to help me navigate the blank by getting rid of those players that are blanking.
Yeah.
So it's going to be an interesting one.
What I will say is that if you come out the other side of the chaos and you look at game week 35, Bournemouth play Palace at home. You've then got Chelsea at home to Forest. You've got Leeds at home to Burnley. City at Everton. What else we've got? Brighton away at Newcastle. It's just difficult. And then if you fast forward into 36, Brighton have then got Wolves at home. You've got City have got double game week. Leeds have got Spurs. Who knows what Spurs will look like at that stage. All right, Chelsea have got Liverpool, so that's a bit more difficult. Bournemouth have got Fulham. So the point I'm trying to make is that...
It's a bit more messy, isn't it, this now?
It is. It is it's a lot more messy. But the point I'm trying to make is, if you were to wildcard, if I stuck to my strategy as was, you know, a week ago in my mind,
yeah,
game week 32 wildcard to maximise the bench boost 33... free hit in 34, and then the rest of the season, like the longer term on that strategy doesn't look too bad. It doesn't look too bad. But 32 looks bad. Like the immediate game week, I can't. It just feels so wrong with my team as it is. My bus team set up for 32 looks kind of okay. And I'd be wildcarded into something, inverted commas, worse.
Yeah.
Because the longer term looks better. The key for me is City, right? That's one of the key questions I've got to ask myself, right? So Man City, everyone's going to be all over Man City now, right? Because obviously game week 32 is the Chelsea game, which despite Chelsea winning 7-0, I still would back City to beat Chelsea.
Totally.
Then it's a double, Everton, double, Bournemouth, Villa, right? So for the rest of the season, particularly if you're going to back City to put Arsenal under a bit of pressure and potentially take the league from them, which I do, frankly. I
think Man City are going to win the league now.
Given the narrative around Arsenal at the minute, I do back City to probably beat them when they play each other. And then all of a sudden the gap's down to what? 3 points if City win their game in hand. And it's, you know, squeaky bum time for Arteta, right? So City are going to be very investable between now and the end of the season. I only have Semenya right now. Sold Gehi for Chow, if you remember rightly, who then come on and he didn't get the full start, did he? And all that nonsense. So that's looking like a bit of a... shouldn't have done that, right? And I don't have Haaland either because I got Ekitike a few weeks ago. So is it enough for me to roll a transfer in 32 and go into 33, get O'Reilly and Haaland, and then have my Man City players in play and take it from there without the
wild card? How many transfers do you have?
I've only got one. This is a problem. I haven't got enough transfers to do anything with. And the other challenge with that is that, you know, I'm not really maximising Bournemouth in 33 because I've just got Hill. I'm not having any Brighton except for Verbruggen.
So I was going to say, so with your current squad, you've got Verbruggen, who would double, and Hill, Semenyo, João Pedro, Enzo.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
That's it. I mean, unless you want to count Dubravka, which I don't really.
Well, you'd bench boost, so you got to count Dubravka. So six out of 15 would be doubling. But two of them are goalkeepers.
Yeah.
You would have effectively two transfers to get there, wouldn't you?
So
you
could get a couple of City.
So you could get eight.
Yeah. Which is just not aggressive enough for me. Like 33, you're talking about going against a lot of FPL managers that are going to have 15.
Well, okay. So is there a world where you think, because you've used your triple cap, we know that there's going to be another double coming in 36. Is there a world where you wildcard into 33 instead? So leave your team looking nice for 32 as it stands right now. Wildcard it into 33. Roll the transfer.
Bench boost in 36.
So bench boost for the next City double. I know it's not as attractive because maybe. It's only two teams rather than six, but it is another double game week.
You're bench boosting a bunch of single game week, is there? You bench boost any week then, can't you, really?
Well, yeah, you can. But my theory on that was that what you could do is if you wild card into 33, you could get those players that you were talking about that you don't mind holding. You don't necessarily have to go all in, though. You could keep some single game weekers who have got nice fixtures till the end of the season, like maybe your Arsenal players who you would want to keep longer term, because you don't have to worry too much about the bench.
Yeah, I don't know, you know. I don't know. Brighton are an interesting team amongst all this, aren't they? Because they have got a So they have got a good fixture in 32. They got Burnley.
Yeah.
So they're the team that you'd say, okay, well, in 33, it's Spurs and Chelsea. And listen, who knows what De Zerbi's going to do at Spurs, right? And then Chelsea at home for Brighton, also don't mind it. So they're the team where I feel a bit under-invested because they've got a decent 32 and then a double in 33. And I've got just for Bruggen. So am I missing out by not wildcarding in 32, by going against that strategy? Am I missing out on like a... God, I never thought I'd say this season. Am I missing out on a Welbeck? Am I missing out on a Minté? Am I missing out on a Van Heck? You know, well, I am, but I've got to be using them for Man City, haven't I? I've got to.
Well, it depends. If your strategy moves to a wildcard in 33, it doesn't have to be Man City this week because you could avoid them for Chelsea if you so chose and just get Brighton this week. Personally, I think you've got two choices. You either sacrifice a little bit of 32 or you hold that wildcard until 35. And if you're going to hold the wild card till 35, then probably your best strategy is a free hit 33.
God, it's a lot harder, this, isn't it? That Arsenal game, the result, so has thrown everything, isn't
secretly,
it?
Secretly, thrown everything. For me, I love this. Because well, as somebody that's yeah, not got a wild card left, I was thinking this is going to be a disaster. Like, if it went the way that everyone was like expecting, Manchester City, Arsenal, Chelsea, and then West Ham, I was thinking, okay, that could cause me some issues because I'm going to need to reshuffle my pack. I'm going to need to do this all on three transfers. I'm going to need to manage getting as many doublers as I can in for 33 and then free hit them back out again for 34. But I've also not got to sacrifice the remainder of the season. So I can't get rid of too many players that I think are good to hold. Whereas now what's happened, I'm looking at social media and even just amongst the content creators, nobody... hardly any of them are agreeing with each other.
No, there's no set strategy.
Everyone's
now,
I think I'm going to do this. Oh, I think I'm going to do that. And I'm just sitting in the middle of it going, okay, well, I don't feel quite so bad about my no wildcard strategy now.
Oh,
I think my big decision is, and for those of you that have already wildcarded, the biggest decision that we have now is what we do about Arsenal. And that's going to come down to if Gabriel is really injured or not. So if Gabriel on heading into the Champions League, Arteta rules out Gabriel, and if with the ice strapping and stuff the way that it was, if he's going to be out in the medium to long term, then I think I might just go rogue with what I'm doing between now and the end of the season, because what's the point in holding him?
What do you make of that? Just to go off on an Arsenal tangent for a second then, because we've touched on it, haven't we, in terms of, you know, we think that, you know, I personally believe City will be they'll be turning the screw, I think. They're turning the screw.
Totally,
they know how to do it, right? And they've got the muscle memory of doing it season after season.
Yep.
And I'm afraid Arsenal fans are not going to like this, but you've got the muscle memory of...
Bridesmaids.
Of, you know, bulking under some of that pressure, right? So... I mean, they've had a bad week, haven't they, Arsenal? No doubt about it. I mean, that's a big psychological blow, losing the League Cup final to Manchester City in the way that they did. And then to go out and, okay, you're right, they did rest a few players against Southampton, but let's not beat around the bush. Southampton, like, played very, very well.
They did.
And first 5 or 10 minutes, if you noticed it in that game, but they really, like, were putting themselves about Southampton. They really got amongst it. They were not afraid to stand up to Arsenal. And that's what, you know, that's been Arsenal's philosophy this season, isn't it? It's about big blokes and set pieces and being strong and being big.
Totally.
And Southampton were just like, well, we'll stand up to that. We're not going to be bullied by Arsenal. And they did a number on them. They really did.
Yeah.
Did a number.
It was a bit come and have a go if you think you're hard enough, wasn't it? Kind of style of...
Yeah. And I actually thought, of all the players that Arsenal played, I thought the youngster actually, Max Downman, on the right-hand side, played very, very well indeed. He got on the ball. He was direct and... Okay, not everything come off for him, but I was very impressed by his performance. Outside of that, though, I thought it was a bit average from Arsenal. So what do you, and as a Spurs fan, you're going to be a bit biased here, I assume, and I guess, but what do you make of them and their FPL assets for the rest of the season? Yes, we need to wait and see what Gabriel's knee is all about. We've got to wait to hear from Arteta. Not that it'll give us anything concrete, I'm sure. But FPL assets outside of that, particularly from an attacking perspective, with no double game week now, I think it makes them really hard to pick.
I do too. And I think that's the thing. When I was looking at the rest of how this season I was expecting it to plan out, I've got a little set of notes on my phone where I was kind of looking at the teams that I would want to target between now and the end of the season, almost in like a Venn diagram of like good fixtures till the end of the season, has a double, has a blank, you know, so you want them sitting in the has a double, but obviously, you know, the blank affects it. And Arsenal were right up there because I fully expected Arsenal to beat Southampton. So I hadn't really considered what I would do if Arsenal didn't beat Southampton. So now I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, okay, well, the reality of this situation now is that they've got a massive game against Sporting in midweek, which is great for us in FPL because it does mean we're going to get a view of what this team looks like. Whether these players that have missed out on international duty, the likes of Rice and Saka and Gabriel and all of that, are where we are in terms of their fitness. But I am looking at it now and going, okay, they are going to be challenging, obviously, for the title. Am I expecting them to still win the title? No. Am I expecting them to lose to Man City in 33? Sorry, Arsenal fans, but yes, because I think the momentum has shifted again. It's shifted towards Manchester City now. So when I'm looking at all of this, in my head, I'm now thinking, okay, well, what do I therefore want to do about Arsenal? Because I had been expecting to need to get an Arsenal attacker. I was like, I'm going to have Gabriel. What I'll probably do is sell Roos for Raya. So that doubles me up on the Arsenal defence. And then for the double game week, I'll bring in somebody like a Saka or a Rice again, or somebody, Jokeres, to cover out the double game week. Now, it's interesting because suddenly my thought process has gone, if Gabriel's out, might just go without any City players for a while.
Without any Arsenal players?
Sorry, without any Arsenal players for a while.
Yeah.
Because I don't... If you're going to target in on the double game week, then you have to leave them out, don't you?
Yeah. Well, listen, Bournemouth at home in 32, which again is a good fixture. You know, if Gabriel's fit, then you'd want him for that, wouldn't you? If he's not, then again, that's another reason potentially to wildcard in 32, because that's something else you can fix. You can take him out.
That's true.
But if he rocks up against Lisbon because the knee thing was just a precaution, and therefore he's going to be fit for Bournemouth at home, that's another reason not to wildcard in 32, because again, you're going to be taking him out, aren't you? Probably.
Probably.
Because you're going to be taking him out for an O'Reilly or somebody.
Almost certainly.
And that's a bit of a risk given his ownership, etc. So the Gabriel injury is going to have an impact on the wildcard strategy for 32 as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. It's going to make it really, really interesting, I think, because suddenly I think that there is a world where some managers, probably myself included, if Gabriel isn't available, will look at that and go, okay, well, would I want him for this week coming? Yes. Would I be happy to not have him against Manchester City, especially if I'm going to be trebled up on Manchester City for the double? Yes. And then after that, like, you don't necessarily have to rule out Arsenal altogether. You can bring somebody back in, can't you? If Gabriel is back for 30, you know, they're going to play in 34 now. So if Gabriel is available again for 34, fine, I'll get him back in for the blank. It helps me manage the blank game week, maybe without a free hit chip. So all of these things need to be considered and thought about. I will not be getting any more Arsenal, and there's a good chance now that I might even lose Gabriel as well.
All right. A word on Leeds then, because Leeds are obviously one of those teams that we're now going to have a look at, given that they won. They're going to double in 33, and it looks okay. Wolves at home, Bournemouth away.
Yes.
And then, of course, the blank in 34, but we can deal with that if you've got the free hit. And then coming out of that, Burnley at home in 35, which looks great. Then you've got Spurs away in 36.
They're top of the fixture ticket till the end of the season, Leeds.
And then Brighton and then West Ham. So top of the fixture ticket. I guess there is a bit of a risk, I suppose, that around that semi-final with Chelsea now, that there might be a little bit of rotation with them.
But yes, that's true. I mean, can they? Have they got that big enough a squad?
Well, I don't know. And to be honest, I wouldn't know where to go in terms of picks anyway. I mean, Calvert-Lewin's going to be up there, isn't he, in terms of picks, but only because he's the number nine. I noticed he didn't start today anyway, did he? I mean, Emecha started, didn't he, up top for Leeds today, and it's Calvert-Lewin come on. Mm. Anton Stach, I think, is worth a shout, but I think went off injured in that game. I thought James Justin played quite well today, and he takes some set pieces, so maybe.
Struik is their top point scorer in FPL this calendar year since 2026.
Struik is up there, but again, here we are. We're fighting about, aren't we?
We are,
We're fighting about. We're trying to force Leeds players in because they've got a double in 33, not because we really want them, aren't we?
Yeah, because I do think whoever you get from Leeds is punty and you are, and all right, despite the fact that the fixtures are nice between now and the end of the season, you're still punting on a Leeds player to do well. I mean, given where they are in the table as well, you're still punting on a Leeds player to do well over that period of time. And to be honest, it could be any of a few of them that are the good ones. Like, it's not like there's a standout, I don't think, at Leeds that you can go, well, I'll just 100% get that one, and that's where I'll be between now and the end of the season. I don't think there is that player at the moment. Because even DCL's gone off the boil.
Yeah, totally. I mean, it takes the pens, doesn't he? So from that perspective, he's the one you probably go for. I thought Tanaka played really well. So I was really impressed with Tanaka.
But also, let's be real. Two of your forward spots were already gone with Jao Pedro and Haaland for the double game week. So you've only got one left.
True enough.
So is it Welbeck?
You'd have Welbeck over
I think
over
you'd have
DCL,
Welbeck
you?
Over
yeah,
DCL.
Probably right. And
even then, you've also got, you know, some people will already have Kroupi in their team. So you probably just keep him, wouldn't you? Rather than going over to DCL.
Yeah, we are. I mean, we are going to be fighting about with Leeds a little bit. And again, you want, if you get any of them in preparation for that double in 33, you've got to play them. You've got to potentially play them at Old Trafford in 32.
Yeah, which is not ideal.
And you probably, if you're going to get DCL, you're taking out a decent forward. You know, who are you taking out? Maybe you take out Ekitike. Okay, well, we've got Fulham at home, I think, which is, despite how shite we are, you'd still have that over.
Oh, yeah, but it does sit in between your two PSG games.
Well, yeah, there's that as well. Yeah. I mean, therein lies a reason to do the wild card in 32. If you're stacked on Liverpool, I mean, if you've got Van Dijk and you've got Ekitike and maybe you've got Szoboszlai, A, we're crap. B, the Fulham game is in between the two PSG games. Now, I don't know about Szoboszlai and Van Dijk. I think you'd be safe with those guys. But if you've got Hugo Ekitike, would it shock me at all for him to not play him against Fulham? So that he sort of saves him, inverted commas, for the PSG games. I think it largely depends how the first leg goes, doesn't it? Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me. Would not surprise me at all. I don't know. I tell you what, I expected to do either a pod or a live stream tonight and be really clear that I was going to wildcard in 32 and I knew exactly what it was going to look like. And it was consist of largely Arsenal, Man City, with a little bit of Leeds or West Ham around the edges. That's what it was going to look like.
Right.
Absolutely no doubt. I didn't
now
expect
you've got
us
a bit of a
Man
headache,
City.
Haven't you?
Now it's really hard. It's really, really tough. And I don't think I can sit here legit and say with any, I don't know, certainty about what my strategy is. And you're right. You know, if you look on X, you look at how the other content creators are thinking. There's lots of different strategies.
There's no consistency. And
lots
of
different strategies.
And it's interesting, isn't it? Because for a lot of the content creators, like I am kind of in the minority as a content creator that doesn't have my wildcard left. As you all know, because you listen to us every week, that's partly because of how awful my season has been, that I went early on it. And actually that has been a blessing. And it's kind of helping to try and salvage something from the absolute mess that has been 25, 26. But for most of the other content creators, the wildcard still exists. And so I honestly fully expected everyone to either come out of it going, right, I'm definitely on a 32, or no, I'm definitely on a 35 wildcard strategy. But now 33 is in the mix, 35 still hanging about, people are still pondering on 32. Like, I think a lot of people will make a very, very late decision on this wildcard after Arsenal play on Wednesday night based upon what is happening with Gabriel.
Yeah.
And what happens to Liverpool on Tuesday evening.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I think if you do go for the maximise the hell out of 33 and get as many double game weekers as possible, you then don't have to worry about it in 34 because you've got the free hit. By the time we get out to 35, that team is going to look, I think, okay, but it's probably not going to have much Arsenal. And in 35, they got Fulham at home. It's probably not going to have any Aston Villa. Well, it's almost certainly not going to have any Villa. Not going to have Rodgers, are you, if you're going to wild card? And they've got Spurs at home.
Well, we'll be great by then.
Well, maybe. It's probably not going to have Thiago in it. And Thiago's got West Ham at home in 35. Do you know what I mean? There's just
many
question marks about it now.
Which is why I'm pondering now on a free hit 33 strategy.
Yeah, maybe.
Because actually my team's all right for the blank at the minute.
Yeah, all right. Well, listen, I think we're going around in circles a little bit with it. I think we'll probably call it a day there, to be honest with you, because we do need to do another pod, don't we?
We'll be back with Ohana on Thursday.
Evolves as we go through the week, I think. We'll come back with another Ohana on Thursday. So get over to patreon.com/FPL family and sign up for a free account over there. No money required, no sponsorship or monthly subscription required to listen to the Ohana podcast on Thursday. I like to think I'll be a bit clearer on the strategy between...
I hope so by Thursday.
Now and then. Obviously, we've got some European football to be played as well, which again might influence our thinking. But currently, hopefully that this podcast didn't come across too sort of indecisive and going around the houses. But that's how I feel at the minute. I honestly feel really indecisive about it.
But to be honest, I think it would be weird after the results that we've had this weekend for you to come out and go, right, I'm definitely doing
I'm
that.
I'm locked in on this.
I think that would be weird because I do think you just need to see how this... You need to think about your team and decide where your other chips are going as well, because that will fundamentally change what's right with your wild card. And you do have to think really carefully about 32 and whether you're prepared to sacrifice some players that you would like to have for 32 in favour of those that you don't really want to have for 32 in order that everything else maybe looks better for 34. But that's quite hard to know, isn't it? Because you're talking about, for 33, because you're talking about two game weeks away.
Do you know what? That last 30 seconds you just spoke then, I just zoned out.
Oh, good.
I was just like...
Let's hope that everyone else didn't. Hope you stuck with me, guys.
It's like, oh, God, this is 31. This is so too much to consider. I need to be honest, ever since the Leeds and West Ham game was going on, no, actually, ever since Southampton beat Arsenal, it's just been going round and round.
You've
in my
been
head.
An overload.
It's been round and round in my head of what I'm going to do in FPR. I just need to probably sleep on it and hope that it's a little bit clearer in the morning. We'll see. Thanks for listening to the pod, guys. Hopefully that was useful. I don't know if it was, to be honest with you. I'm sure some of you get in the comments. Let us know if you feel the same as me. Let us know if you feel your head's a bit scrambled. And equally, let us know if you're locked in. If you think, actually, no, I'm cool with it. I'm going to still maximise game week 33. I'm going to wildcard in 32. Going to try and kill it in 33 with as many doublers as possible and free hit in 34. Maybe that is still the strategy. Who knows? But thanks for listening. Leave us a like, subscribe, all that good stuff. Like I say, we'll be back on Thursday with another Ohana podcast. Patreon.com/FPL family is where you can find that. And until then, we will see you on Thursday. All right, guys. Cheers. Thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.